Hey, thank you for coming. And we're going to be talking on a new series called Beyond the Natural. Everybody say Beyond. The Natural. We're going to get through this. There's some unnatural things that try to get in your way. Amen?
Amen.
And you just push through. But when you try to start trying to describe who God is, and you try to picture him in your own categories of your mind, we have trouble. So they have me the thumbs up, so they have a video that they're going to show right now. Go ahead.
So I've got a question that's always bothered me. The Bible says there's one God, but in other parts of the Bible, God is three: Father, Son, and Spirit. How can it be both?
Yeah, this is a question that has mystified people for thousands of years. And while we can't fully explain it, I think we can better understand what it is that we can't fully understand.
What do you mean?
Well, think of it this way. Here's a two-dimensional plane. And then, here's an object with three dimensions that's going to pass through the 2D plane.
Okay, right. From this perspective, the 3D object's above and below the plane.
So now it makes sense, but imagine you were a 2D person stuck on the 2D plane. What would you see?
I don't know. What would I see?
Well, it would look like this.
Oh, yeah, okay. From this perspective, it looks impossible. It's one object, and then two objects, and then three.
But in reality, they're all one, just not in a way you're capable of understanding. Now, let's take this whole thing as a visual analogy for how we experience God. The claim in the Bible is that God is transcendent, a divine being through whom we live and move and have our being. Or, as God says, I am.
Okay, but I live here in this universe, so when God appears, it will make sense in some ways, but in other ways, it will break my categories.
Okay, that's good.
Exactly. This happens all.
So that video, the rest of that video, is available on YouTube and on the Bible Project website. I encourage you to go to that website. It has a lot of great stuff on it. But what I want to get out of that video is this, that idea of God that we need to, and I think they did a great job of talking about how we live on like this 2D plane, right? And God is in this 3D world that we can't really see, and we can't really see all of what he is, right? And so it kind of baffles our understanding. And the word that theologians use for this kind of idea is that God is transcendent. Everybody say transcendent.
Transcendent.
Transcendent. The word transcendent means the transcendent nature of God means that God cannot be measured by natural means. He exists above and independent from. Like he is other. God is other. Right? We are not God. Amen. Everybody say thank God. How many of you are glad some people are not God? Amen. How many of you are glad you're not God? Things will be a little bit different in our world. But we don't think like God, right? The Bible says that all things are upheld by his mighty power. And then in 1 Chronicles, it's a really cool scripture in chapter 2. It says the temple, he's talking about the temple that they're going to build. The temple I am going to build will be great because our God is greater than all other gods. But who is able to build a temple for him since the heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain him? Who then am I to build a temple for him except a place to burn incense before him? Like God is so much bigger. He's so much out of our category. He is something that we cannot imagine, we can't think, we can't wrap our minds around. He is not in our space, if you will. He's not in our thinking. He's outside. He's other. Amen? But there's another cool word that theologians use, that not only is God transcendent of where we are, above where we are, and beyond where we are, but he's also immanent. He is both transcendent, yet immanent. So God is both other and near, all at the same time. That God is near to us. God actually works in our space, in our area, if you will. God encompasses or is manifest in the material world. That God who is transcendent is yet immanent here. You're like, wow, this is like heady. Amen. So God is But if we don't understand these things, we can lose grasp, and we'll try to it will mess up how we deal with who God is. Amen. I was at a class, and they talked, and somebody asked, you know, what God was like, or what they saw God as. And I remember somebody said that they were like, it was like that they were in a, they pictured God like in a room, kind of by himself, you know, on a throne, kind of unapproachable, right? And it's like, well, not really. Like, God is approachable through the blood of Jesus, amen? And so, if we don't understand, but that changes how we view God. It changes how we interact with God. So how you view God is essential to how you walk this Christian life out. So God is both transcendent yet immanent. He's both other and he's near. And he manifests himself in the natural world. So to understand and to live life as a believer, we need to understand that he is both other and near all together at the same time. At the same time. It's amazing. The Spirit of God is both transcendent and immanent. It's important. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians, and here's where the rub is. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this. These things we also speak, not in words which are man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing, watch this, spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because why? Because they're spiritually discerned. If you're going to contact a transcendent God, you're going to have to contact him on his terms and in his way. And as a matter of fact, if you try to use your mental mind to try to understand and try to grasp all of it, you'll never be able to do it. It goes beyond, right? He's transcendent. He's beyond your natural thinking. Right? He's beyond our own reasoning. He's beyond our own thinking. So we can't relate. The truth is, so let me say it like this. People in our day, the wisdom of our day, we have a problem with God. We have an issue with God because we can't put God in this box and explain exactly all the way he is. Theologians have been trying to do this for years and years and years and years, for forever. People have tried to understand God, and thank God for Jesus who came and showed us who God is, amen, and what God's light and what his nature is. And thank God we have the Word of God, that God speaks, and thank God he is immanent because he speaks through prophets and people, and he's made known by the Word of God that we cherish, right? But people have a problem with God because they try to relate a transcendent God through natural means. Like, I appreciate all the debates about God. I appreciate all the, you know, all the, you know, I'll be honest, apologetics kind of was kind of a thing for me, especially as I am a logic guy. Where are my logic people at? Where are my logic people at? I feel you. So apologetics was really great, because apologetics, what it did is it helped me step into some natural understandings. There's some, you know, proofs, if you will, of the God we serve, and through Jesus' resurrection and all of that. Apologetics was great. It was a great doorway, if you will, to step in and give me some grounding, a little bit of grounding, so I can fully jump in. But let me tell you something, apologetics didn't answer all my questions. All those natural laws and all those natural thinking didn't answer all my questions. Because why? Because God is not natural. God is transcendent. He is other. He is other. So let me just help you. This is a walk of faith. Faith is not of the natural. Faith is always beyond the natural. It's beyond natural thinking. So there are times, I'm not telling you to turn off everything. There are times where you got to tell your brain, shut up, brain. You got to tell it, shut up. I can't rely on your natural thinking, because God is not natural. God is beyond the natural. So that means then, so that if we're going to contact God, I say it like this, we've taught it a lot at this church. We taught it, we teach about how we, like God's a triune, right? Three in one. That we are also three, right? We have a body. I am a spirit. I live in a body, and I have a soul, right? We are three part, and they all do different things. They all function differently. But with our natural, with my flesh, I contact, right? I contact. When Georgia Tech kept fumbling the ball yesterday, I contacted things with my fist yesterday. Because it was driving me crazy. Amen. Oh, can you give a game away, please? Yes. So now my soul is functioning right now because I feel grief and anxious because they got a Falcons game today and it's the first game. And so my fuss, watch, this is a great way to teach this. It's like all of my body, right, is like, and then my spirit says, whoa, David, you need to chill out about all this stuff and give you peace. Amen. All right, great. So God, right? So we are triune, but with our minds, we contact the mental world, right? With our soul, we contact the mental world. With our physical, we contact the physical world. But with our spirit, we contact the spiritual world. It's not your mind, because God is not about your mind. He is transcendent. Are there things that we can study in science? Absolutely. Are there things that we can study about God? Can we go and can we learn about the things and the history of the early church? And can we go about and read extra biblical stuff about who Jesus was and what the claims of that time were about Jesus? Even though they're negative claims, we can still say there's a man Jesus who lived, right? We can understand the facts that there was a man Jesus who lived, was crucified, and 3 days later there was no body. That's a historical fact, right? We can mentally understand that. But man, when you come to know Jesus, when your spirit man opens up to the things of God, you're like your spirit bears witness with the Holy Spirit that you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God. There's something in you that cries out for God. Amen? There's something in you that goes, I can't put my finger on it. I don't care how logical I am, but I've been changed by the power and nature of God. That there's something different on the inside of me because of God on the inside of me. I wish I could tell you all about it. I wish I could explain it in natural terms, but I can't because He's transcendent. And it goes past your mental. And listen, we got to understand these things. And this is, and I'm so passionate about this because it's such a big deal, even in my own life, especially as an early Christian. It was so hard to get past my mind about things. But the more I'm telling you, I still love my logic. And if you push me, I'll still debate you. I won't be happy about it afterwards, but I will debate you. We'll talk about cool things about science, and we'll talk about cool things about, you know, apologetics. But when it all boils down to it, I just know. I know, Paul says, I know in whom I've believed. I can't really tell you why, I can't really tell you how, but I know. I know. It's like the old saying, right? How do you know that Jesus is alive? He lives in me. That's the best I got for you. But see, sometimes the transcendent becomes the imminent. And then God becomes real. Yesterday, in that Waffle House, that girl saw a God that was transcendent became imminent right there in Waffle House. And what is she going to do with that? That God met her. Gave her a word for right where she was at. What are you going to do with that? Can't explain it. Don't know how it happens. But a transcendent God became imminent and affected your life and my life and Gifney at Waffle House. So if you see Gifney. So we contact God primarily through spiritual means. This means we need to deal with God on His terms and not ours. If we don't, it's like playing chess with football rules. There actually is. Actually, you know, you study this stuff, right? So you study, And I found out that there is like full contact chess. There's like, and what they do is they play chess, and then they go in and they do like this MMA fighting round, and then they come back and do chess. It's the weirdest thing. Like, we will, like, I don't know. You leave guys alone for long enough, we'll figure out some way to beat each other up. I'm telling you. What are we all about, man? It's crazy. Me and my son has, so my son does Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and we were at the house with a couple of the teenagers last night, and he has this MMA game on his PlayStation, and so we're sitting there playing it, and I always say, Wesley, this time I'm going to beat you, and he always kills me. It's not even close. So I'm there, and I go, Julie, you should watch me beat Wes. And so like the first scene, like Wesley like gets me down on the ground, he's like blah 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 blah. Julie's like, oh my god. She goes, I can't watch this. And I was like, what? Oh, anyway. It has nothing to do with anything. So we cannot relate to him. It's like playing chess with football rules. You have to relate to God by his rules and by the way he is. Amen? We can't relate to him with our mind because he goes beyond our mind, because he is beyond reason. He's beyond our reason. Because he is both other and here, we must meet God on his level and not ours. So we see in all that if we don't, if we choose the natural realm, it's going to affect the way you relate to God. It's going to hinder your ability to walk in faith. It's going to hinder your ability to believe God because all you see is the natural. All you see is the problem. I'm going to see a victory, for the battle belongs to the Lord. That is all spiritual. I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it with the eye, not of my own eyes, but through my eyes of faith. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see God come through. I'm going to see God work in a ways I can't work. Right? We cannot try to do things natural. We must go beyond the natural. So what's the number one way that you and I relate to God in this idea that God is both transcendent and immanent? It's found in Philippians chapter 4. And watch this. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read bits and teach out of it for a second. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says this. It says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request. Every once in a while, that good old Southern boy comes out. With thanksgiving, present your request to God, right? He says, don't be anxious for anything. Here Paul is talking about prayer. He's talking about the subject of prayer right here. He says, don't be anxious for anything. And so let me just step out and borrow something that that my mentor, Greg Kreshel, he's my mentor, but he is. He says this. He says, anxiety, I'll just do it the way he did. So you ever have a light on that comes on your car? Yeah. You know, that's like the worst, right? You're driving down the road and that light comes on. You're like, is my car going to like explode, or is it just like needs an oil change? What is that? Like, it could be any number of things, right? That light comes on, and all of a sudden, you talk about anxiety. That light comes on, and all of a sudden, you realize that there's a problem, right? The light is not the problem. Although I have seen people come in as working in an automotive field, I have seen people come in, and you know what they did for the light? They took a piece of black electrical tape and just put it. Let me just say, that'll preach. That'll preach, putting the black electrical tape over your issues. Anyway, that's another message for another, talking about beyond the natural. So the light is not the problem. The light indicates that there's a problem. The light also indicates that you're the best bet is take it to the manufacturer to tell you what's wrong with the vehicle. Come on. Come on. Come on. What is anxiety? Anxiety is that light. I wish this was mine. This is so good. It's good, Craig Rochelle's. He said that light is the indicator that something's wrong and needs to be taken to the manufacturer to fix it. Anxiety is an indicator light that something's wrong and you need to take that to the manufacturer to get that thing resolved. And so he says this, anxiety, you may have saw my post a couple of days ago, anxiety is the indicator that it's time to pray. Anxiety is the indicator that it's time to pray. Anxiety, what is anxiety? It's the natural reaction. Anxiety is the natural reaction. When something goes wrong, when something's just not quite right with your kids, when that thing, when there's that pain in your body and you go, and all of a sudden the wheels start turning about what it could be. Hey, come on. Anxiety, fear, worry. That anxiety is the natural reaction. It's the natural reaction. So what we need to do when that anxiety comes, he says, don't be anxious about anything. Like, what planet are you living on, Paul? Like, are you serious? Don't be anxious about anything. He says, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. In that moment of anxiety, in that moment of fear, in that moment of worry, in that moment, what we need to do is switch from the natural into the supernatural, or from the natural, or from the natural, and to go beyond the natural to a transcendent God who's immanent and knows how to work in your situation. Your anxiety, your fear, your worry, whatever you're anxious about will not be fixed unless you take that thing to the manufacturer. If you take that thing to God, you switch over from the natural to the supernatural. And how do you do it? In prayer. In prayer. But this is what we do. Can I step on all of our feet for a minute? This is what we do. We pray. And the Bible's amazing. It says, watch this. Let me just go there and then I'll go back to that thought. Verse 7. He says, let me read the whole thing back over. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. Every what situation? Every anxious situation. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And watch this. The peace of God, which what? Come on. Transcends all understanding. It will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It guards your, watch this. It guards your heart. What is that? Your soulless realm. And what else? It transforms your, and it gives your mind peace. Your thinking, your natural reasoning. The two places where fear and anxiety hits you the most is where God says, I'm going to give you peace in. And what is it going to do? It's going to transcend. Why? Because we serve a transcendent God. It's going to transcend your heart. It's going to transcend your mind and your heart. It's going to go beyond what you can think. That peace will go beyond how you can even figure it all out. It'll transcend your understanding. That peace will. How many of you have ever had you've had that situation, you've had that anxious thought, and you did exactly what the Bible told you to do, and you prayed. And how many of you have experienced the peace of God right after you pray? Right, I mean, I'm talking the moment after you pray. You say, oh man, okay, I know you got it, Lord. You know what's happening? The Word of God is happening. Because God, when you pray, the peace comes. Peace will come. And let me just encourage you, if it does, just keep praying. Just keep praying. It'll transcend your heart and your mind. But this is what we do. We pray. The peace actually comes. And then what do? All right, appreciate the peace, God, but I'm going to figure all this out on my own.
Come on.
I'm going to try to fix this all on my own. I'm going to do all of my stuff that I know that, you know, that I know you must be too busy, so I got this, God. Isn't that what we do? I'm going to fix it. I'm going to figure out what's going on. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to worry a little bit more because that helps me. And I'm going to work all these situations out, and I'm going to go to everything I can go to fix this problem because, you know, it's consuming my mind. We went through a season where you ever have your kids? I shouldn't talk about my kids, but that's anyway. But you ever have those seasons where your kids are just, there's something wrong and you just can't put your finger on it? You know what I'm saying? There's a disconnect going on, but you just can't put your finger on it. Maybe there's not joy. And then in this case, it was just like, it seemed like just this almost like oppressive kind of sadness. And I remember, like, I was like, my goodness, what is going on? And I'd be down there and I'd try to joke. I try to joke around because that's what I do to fix things, you know. And I go, "Hey, you got it. It's going to be great." And like nothing, any of my great abilities were fixing any of the problems. And then I would go, "Well, yeah, no, I'll just encourage. Well, just read your Bible and you just pray and whatever. I'm just all this spiritual stuff that you just say." Come on.
Yeah.
And nothing was working. And you feel hopeless. That's your kid. Like, what are you going to do? There's nothing you can do to make it right. You've tried everything. And I remember when Julie and I would talk. We would talk about it. And then Julie goes, "We just need to pray." I went, "I'm a pastor." That should have been like the first thing like that pops into your mind, right? But we did. But you know what we did? My wife and I came together. We fasted and prayed. We came together, actually grabbed hands. We didn't grab hands. Obviously, we were pacing around in our living room. That's what we were doing. And we prayed. And we bound the devil. Took authority in our home because we are the authority in our home spiritually. Amen. We prayed over our home. We prayed over our kid. And I'm not even kidding. It was like 2 days later. It was like the light had come on in their mind. It was like everything was good. Everything was happy. Everything was wonderful. And I go, "What just happened?" Like, it was prayer. Because we did everything we knew to do. But we decided to come together and take that anxiety and switch it from the natural into the supernatural. Because God's not, He's not touched by natural. He's touched by, because He's transcendent. And the peace that I need and the help that I need from a transcendent God, I need it to be imminent in my kid's life. I need to work in my kid's life. So what did we do? We prayed. And we watched God move. We watched God do things. We watched, you know, this thing broke over them. The peace of God, it transcends all understanding. When you pray. When you pray. So my charge to you this morning is this. And my question for you is this. What thing have you been trying to fix with every bit of mental possible stuff that you could do in your mind? You've tried everything that you can think of to fix this problem. And maybe you're battling a spiritual problem that's not a natural problem. And you need to go into it from a spiritual area. Are there things that you need to do in the natural? Absolutely. I got other stories of other situations where we're dealing with my kids, my amazing kids, that I did natural God, actually prayer, God spoke to me and I started doing them. right? But I got it from God, truthfully. Like people say, you're such a, man, you guys, you just have such a great, you, well, hey, you should come, you know, ask Alina. Now she's living with us. So she's like, wow, they ain't perfect. How about that? Oh, well. Well, she's been living with us for 2 days. So, no, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. She's been living longer than that. But it's not all rainbows, right? And happiness. Like, but we endeavor in our home to live. And are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. But we endeavor, we understand that we fight spiritual things with spiritual forces. Amen? I'll say this. There was a time. No, I'm not going to say that. That's private. No, it's private. It's private. Please, let me. It's my own kid. But there are times when you do things, you get a word from the Lord about something for your children, and you do start doing those things that you haven't been doing before. We'll just say it like that. Yeah. Be very vague. There's things that, you know, I should have been doing as a dad, and I wasn't doing them. And as I heard from the Lord, watch, as I heard from the Lord about what to do, I started doing them, hear and obey. I started doing those things, and I watched relationship with one of my kids change, start changing. So there's natural things that you can do, right? But what I'm saying is, and we all know who we are, us logical people and us fixers. Fixers. I'm just watching you smile at me right now. I see my fixers. I don't have to ask you to raise your hand. But listen, we need to look, your own ability is not the only way. Your own ability is only part of the solution. You have a transcendent God who goes beyond, who sees your situation better than you see your situation. He sees the beginning. He sees the end from the beginning. He stands outside of time, yet he puts himself into our time. And he sees it all. Right? And he asks us, just come to me. Just come to me. Because I'm imminent. I'm here. I work in your world, in your space, but I'm also outside of your space. So I have a way different perspective than you have. So I'm challenging you. What is that situation? And you say, well, I've kind of prayed about it. Let's go from the kind of pray about it to let's pray about it. Let's ask God. Let's put this whole thing, like Jesus says, casting all of your care onto him. Well, that's easy until it's your own kid, isn't it? That's easy until it's your situation. It's easy to say to somebody else, well, you just, Charlene, you just need to cast all of that care on the Lord. Amen. Amen, sister. Amen. Amen. I'm going to say amen until you get it. Amen. Cast all of your care on the Lord because he cares for you. And you just need to do it. And I'm going to leave you in your situation alone. And I'm going to go live my happy life. Meanwhile, Charlene's over here having to deal with it. Amen?
Yeah.
Come on. But Charlene's going to have to be the person who does take that care and casts it on the Lord because he cares for you. And how is she going to do it? Through prayer. Through prayer. Through seeking the Lord about it. Through saying over and over again, God, I just give it to you. I'll give it to you. It's not your burden anyway. God loves your kids. He loves your situation more than you even do. Amen? He's going to, I'm telling you, he is going to take, and then not only that, oh my gosh, there's so much to say, and then take him at his word. God is good. God is good. All of God's promises are yes and amen. Amen? John Wesley said it like this. There seems to be a way. There seems, this way God works, it seems to be that he will do nothing unless somebody prays. That's the way God set it up. One of your greatest attributes as a believer is your ability to humble yourself before a God. And how do you do it? Through prayer. Especially us logical people, it's a big humbling thing to pray. Amen? Let's all stand together. Worship team, you can come on up. Amen. Amen. We're going to take those things. We're going to watch God move. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to see God work. You're going to build yourself up in faith. because of the Word of God and the promises of God. And we're going to move from the natural. We're going to move from the natural, and we're going to move into the supernatural. We're going to go from the natural. We're going to go beyond the natural. And we're going to tap into a transcendent God who lives outside of our space. And that's why we can say, even though I don't see God moving, I know He's moving. I know He's working. I know He's working. He's working in me. He's working in that situation. And whatever the enemy meant for evil, God, You're going to turn it around for good. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come on, I want you to, by faith this morning, as we close with this last song, as we do this song again, you're going to see a victory. Because the battle's not yours. You hear that? For the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen? Go ahead.